And a very pleasant good evening, everyone. Welcome to tonight's broadcast of Saturday Night Live. Thought we'd get a little excitement going there. And we are broadcasting from the auditorium of Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas. Your host this evening for our program is Mark Meek. Good evening, sir.
I noticed you had to look down at your notes to see what my name was tonight.
Actually, I look down because I'm getting a crackle out of my microphone. I'm probably going to change the battery.
Jim, you've always got a great comeback, but it's something that has to do with technology.
Well, that's kind of how I'm wired, pun intended. What's going on here tonight, Mark?
Got great guests in the studio with us tonight. Kind of getting to be regulars, Gage and Kim Angeli.
Yeah, we're here again.
You make it sound like this is something really hard to do.
We were talking, it's in the air conditioning, so we're not going to complain about it.
Amen. Yeah, I think y'all came in here and just collapsed. I'm beginning to wonder what we're going to do with this program. Y'all are so laid back tonight.
Yeah, well, I don't know if we enjoy the air conditioning coming in from the service project with the youth in 101 or riding in the vans back with the youth that were out working in 101.
So what were y'all doing with the youth in the 101 degrees?
Well, Tommy Meek, the AgriLife Extension agent here in Wheeler, had called on the youth group to come and help with the service project. We do love to do service projects, so we're always ready and able to do that. And so anyhow, he had told us that Shamrock Museum needed some flower bed helping, some pavers put down for borders and mulch. So we talked them into going over there for that service project, and Taco Bell helped.
Oh, wow.
Because we fed them a fancy Taco Bell dinner afterwards. But they were gracious, good workers, and we got the pavers. You know, many hands make light work. And so we got the pavers down in no time, the mulch down in no time. I think Franklin Canal and Connie Canal were very pleased with the kids. So it was good.
It is good. It's always good to see those kids. So many of them just need some direction. They enjoy it, and they're good workers, and they just need some direction, and somebody tell them to do something. And they really are. We have a really good group of kids.
So is this a youth group? What is this?
Yep, this is Deviate Youth Group. We, of course, with Cornerstone and here in Wheeler. And so we do have an excellent group of kids. There is a large amount of kids that come. Today we took about 20 over. So that's not our whole group, but it's summertime. We're missing some. So it was easy
it's,
work.
It's
with
vacation
the
time right
it's
now.
Vacation time. Yeah. So, yep. So we do. We have youth every Wednesday. Of course, church. We meet up here for church every Sunday morning. Sunday mornings, a lot of times, we offer breakfast, and we meet at the youth building as well. So Wednesdays
and
Sundays.
So what time do you do that on Sunday?
Sunday mornings, we usually try to meet at 9, and we feed some kind of donuts. We have some equipment there in the youth building. We can make pancakes and waffles, and so we try to feed them and get them in, usually have a lesson, and then Wednesdays from 5:30 to 7:30 every Wednesday. But we do try to do a service project usually about once a month.
So I was so impressed right after we started attending Cornerstone. Y'all had this thing where you were teaching them life skills.
Yes.
And I thought that was pretty cool.
That's kind of interesting that you said that, because I kind of was thinking that when school started back, we might need to bring that back.
Yeah.
Because it was so good. And also, so many people in the church got to help young and old bring a new skill and help. And so, and they really loved it. And we have a big turnover.
We have a lot of little kids, younger
junior high kids in.
Yeah.
So that might be something we need to think about revisiting that for sure. That's good.
So that was things like teaching them how to change a flat.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal for these young people learning how to drive. And
absolutely.
We did, and we had that, you know, and that deal's a big deal to learn. And then we're getting new vehicles and that deal. And even if they weren't able to drive, we wanted to bring mom or bring the parents up there and would help them show them how to do it on their family vehicle. Cause lots of times we just, it's something that you get out of the habit of learning to do. We did that and we.
My favorite one was the call center.
Oh, wow. Well,
I loved the call
now,
center.
Wait, what is that?
So the call center, we had all the kids gathered up and we broke them into groups and they were all given a prompt of something to do on the phone. And so the deal was, is I recognized in my own daughter, like I would ask her to do something, make a call, make an appointment, something. And there was a gap there. Like she couldn't, I mean, she wasn't functioning that well, you know, in that space. And so anyhow, so we decided, so we set up outside people, friends and in the church to be call centers, and they were going to receive the phone calls from these kids and their prompts. And so like one group, every kid in there had to call and order their family a meal for supper, like at Hastie's or something, you know. And another group had to call and make dentist appointments for their mom or dad. So we had several different things like that set up. And then we had instructed the people at the call center, quote unquote, if you will, we said, you know, really be terrible. Like, don't answer the phone, be short with them, accidentally hang up on them, that kind of thing. Like, we all have to endure as adult people. And so it was really funny because the kids would just be frozen in fear. Then when they finally got through, somebody would accidentally hang up or be rude to them, you know. And then they would say, Miss Kim, they just hung up on me. You know, and I'm like, sorry, you have to get this appointment made. You better, I mean, be nice to these people. Try to make it work. You know, you have to get this appointment done. So anyhow, it was so fun. I thought that was my favorite one.
It was. All those were great ideas. We had good, I mean, we did several projects, and it was fun. And it was good on how many people we had in the community, in the church, that were excited about it, that wanted to be involved. I mean, we ironed clothes, we did laundry, we balanced checkbooks. Yeah. We did multiple things, and people were excited. Just life skills, just stuff that you actually do every day that you take for granted.
Yeah.
And the kids enjoyed it. We had lots of kids. And, I mean, they did. They enjoyed it, and we're excited each week to see what the next project or next skill was going to be.
But really when we broke the mold is when, and I won't say that we okayed it with anybody so that nobody's thrown under the bus, but we decided that we were going to have dance lessons.
Yes, that's right.
And so on Wednesdays for 3 weeks, we had dance lessons for kids, and they learned a two-step and
Waltz
and Cotton Eye Joe. And so we did all of these dance lessons for 3 weeks. And like I said, we said, hey, we'll totally take the weight for this because, you know, church, youth group, and dance lessons is kind of a stretch. But the kids absolutely loved it. We made them ask, you know, like it was boys' turn to ask a girl to dance, and then it was girls' turn to ask a boy to dance because they just didn't have any idea of how that goes and how it goes correctly. You know, they just
It was just
it was great.
It was good learning, and we had a good turnout, and that it was okay to ask somebody to dance just for the enjoyment.
Oh yeah, because they said, "Well, we don't like her," and we said, "This is like an exercise. Just because you run next to them on the track doesn't mean you're getting married. I mean, it's just exercise and enjoyment." And so they learned that, you know, it was just for sheer fun and the enjoyment of it. And so we went and had a dance for them and had a great turnout. And so that was probably the most risque one. But we did have a great turnout, and they would just keep bringing kids. The next Wednesday, they would bring three more kids. And, you know, at first they were like, we're not learning to dance. And by the third week, they were loving it. They all felt comfortable because everybody felt like we were on an even keel now, and we knew how to dance. So it was good.
It was all that. And even today when we do things, I'm old school enough. I'm not very good at technology, but we're all certainly tied to our phones more than we ever used to be. And certainly the kids with their skills and their mindset on it and their capability of what they can do on them, they are on them a lot. But it's amazing when they have something else to do, we have very few issues with phones
at
the
youth
building.
I mean,
every once in a while we'll say, okay, today, this week, we're not going to have your phone. They don't care. But 90% of the time, those kids aren't on their phone. Give them something to do, or they're talking to somebody else, or any of those projects and all that. It's neat that they.
Yeah, because they don't need them. I mean, you would think they would freak out, but they did not. And so every once in a while, we do take them up just so we can throw them for a loop. But
just aggravate them.
Yeah,
but they really
just aggravate them.
Yeah.
So you think that sometimes phone use is an antidote for boredom?
I think so.
I mean, it could be. I definitely see that. I think more of it is that I think all of us, just by nature, how God created us, but especially the kids are looking for connection. And if they don't have any other way or space or place for connection, then that's how they connect. And so that's how come when we get them on Wednesdays or Sundays, we don't really see a lot of that because they're in a place to connect with people. And there's, you know, people to visit with and things to do. And like the service project today, I think it's more about connection. And, of course, the devil and the world will make you feel like if you're not connected, you know, then you're out all the time.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the reason I feel like taking up the phones every once in a while. It's not because we have any issue. It's just because we want them to be more comfortable with not having it.
Right.
Because you get so comfortable with having it, there's like a separation anxiety when you don't have it for these kids. And I understand that. And so, you know, if we can get them away from that just a little bit and be like, you know, you lived. It's fine. You didn't even miss anything. And they didn't. But, you know, all of us, we can believe the lies of that we're missing everything if we're not connected all the time.
So Father's Day is here. And Mother's Day was not too far back.
Yeah.
Has the role of fathers and mothers changed in I know it has in my lifetime. I don't know about y'all's, but technology's really made things a little more interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more difficult.
I definitely think more difficult to some degree. And I think some of that, as parents, we may bring on ourselves. Because when you've got littles, it's easy to give them some kind of device so that you can function and feel like you're getting something done in the day.
So what do you mean by littles?
Like I'm saying, like even, you know, now you can get 2- and 3- and 4-year-old kids that, you know, have tablets and iPads, which I don't think is anything wrong with that. But I can understand how being a mom of 3 when they were small, you know, it would be the same as if you plopped them in front of the TV watching Bubble Guppies for a little while so that you could function and get a load of laundry and some dishes done. And so devices are handy in that way, but can also create a beast down the road. I mean, I'm seeing that myself. It's good and bad, you know.
So when I was growing up, and even when we had kids, we didn't have a TV. Y'all are making me wonder what we did with our kids.
Well, I think there was
probably... Maybe we locked them in a closet or
maybe. I'm going to call your kids and ask them, how's that closet? I think, too, that's probably why, and I don't know if this is true. It's just how I feel listening to people. You know, back when, almost every single family had somebody, at least one, and probably more people that played instruments, because they're, you know, if you're at home and there's no TV and no telephone and your day is done of work, so you were connected, you communicated, and, you know, you found things to do to pass that time. And so people... You know, there were a lot more musicians within every family. Now you just don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, because now many families don't have a musician, you know, but almost everybody did if you talk to older people. So I would really love that. But I do think, I do find it strange listening to people in the barbershop too. I think people were connected differently back then because realistically, I think we're on a little more real and honest, raw plane. Like, there's raw talk now, and it may only come in 10-minute increments with your kids or with your parents, or but it's very real and honest and raw, and we're dealing with real stuff. Whereas if you talk to older people, they had a lot of time to sit around and visit with each other, but really didn't talk about a lot of things that weren't what you hoped were appropriate and what you hoped weren't. You know what I'm saying? It was more careful, I guess, conversation, from what I understand.
I don't remember having any kind of conversation with my folks mm-hmm. that I would consider to be raw.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was, that, you know, what I'm saying, though, like, they, no, just people didn't do that.
Yeah.
It was very kept... And I say appropriate, meaning not like anything bad, but like what was acceptable, you know, to visit with your parents. So I think their connection's just different.
I do. I don't think the issues have the topics or the issues as a child no different than you were dealing with growing up or any different than I dealt with growing up. You know, you've got. Worry about money, you got girls, you know, you got things like that, that those issues are still there.
But you didn't talk
to your parents about it.
Right.
Certainly with this technology, if you'd asked me 2 years ago, 5 years ago, I was anti any of it. And every day I get more to it, you know, on this that, what I think it was a horrible deal is just my ignorance on it with the, you know, the technology on how amazing it is and the amount of information that you have in front of you and that these kids, their capability to access it and what they can do with it is unbelievable. And I think because there is so much more information out there, like Kim said, the importance of that raw, real conversation with your kids, you know, is more relevant, or it shouldn't be any more relevant than it used to be. Like I said, it just wasn't ever talked about. You just didn't talk about stuff.
And I think
the importance of talking about it is.
Yeah, because now with the information out there, they're going to find out everything.
Yes.
So. It's all right there. So it's just better that they get it from us, whether it's our own kids, our youth group kids, our church, anybody in our church. I mean, because then we can give them a biblical view of that versus nothing.
Because you can access anything on your phone.
Right, no offense to Google, but they're not checking the biblical view and having it scroll up to be your first outlet, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think, and I think the church has done a good job of recent of really tackling some real, it's okay that this is where you're at. Let's just figure out how to, what God says about it and how to best navigate it. So I guess Gage and I talk a lot about this. I'm not anti any technology or iPads, like I was saying about putting your kids in front of an iPad or anything. I'm not that. I just think we have to be, there was a time when we just weren't so aware that the most important thing now that we can do is teach them how to navigate it properly because I can't do that either, but you know, we're a little better as adults than if you've just got a 10-year-old just, you know. So
hey, I've gone from when I was a teenager, I was afraid to talk to girls, to now it just seems like it's open to anybody and everybody. That everybody just gets on their phones and text and mm-hmm. back and forth. And it's like they have a whole network of people that they're networking with.
They do, but you know, I see, because we're dealing with this with a 17-year-old daughter, we're right in the thick of that. I don't think anything's changed. I think now, instead of hiding, you know, on the other side of the county fair and just staring at them and not talking to them, now we just they are just hiding, both boys and girls, behind a filter on Snapchat with a half face. You know, you only send a half a face. And they just... So now we just hide behind the network, the phone, and the pictures, because they're really still so afraid.
They are still so afraid. I mean, and probably more so, I want to say more so now, because before phones, the only way you were going to talk to a girl is if you went up and talked to her.
Right.
And so now, and again, we deal with it with having, with getting teenagers and more of it, and we try to... down there at the youth building, and that on the importance. And that was funny. You said that dance thing, you know, on just being able to go up and ask a girl to dance, or a girl to ask a guy to dance. I do think that it's probably tougher for teenagers nowadays to go to, because they have an out. They can text them or, but we also see the joy and the excitement and the confidence get built when they do. Get, you know, when somebody does go up and talk to them, or vice versa, that you still, that one-on-one physical talking to, that connection still very much needed, but it's certainly.
This is something we talk a lot about at youth. And, you know, we're like, oh, but, you know, and you'll hear the kids just say, but I don't want to get rejected. But, you know, this is one of those things, like, that's the only way you learn. You have to be, we're all going to be rejected at some point if you haven't already been 10,000 times in some form or fashion. We just have to get, be able, it's not about the rejection, it's about how we proceed after the rejection. So, you know, I think it's all very similar. There's just different avenues. I think it's all very, very similar, though, as it was before.
I know, you're still dealing with the same. You are. I mean, as a teenager, it's either boy or girl, or, I mean, boy or girl friends, or hanging out. I mean, that truly is, as a teenager, that's what you've got on your mind. And so it is.
Yeah, when we were, and he was saying nothing, you know, there's when I said there's nothing new under the sun, because it's all the same issues. You know, I read a book, which I'm sure if you're a book reader, you probably have already read, but I read. So I was beginning, and this has been years, you know, probably 10 years ago or better, 8 years ago. And I started thinking the world is just going to hell in a handbasket kind of thing. And my kids were a certain age, and we were crossing certain places. And I thought, oh, my gosh, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I hear that a lot in the barbershop. Mm-hmm. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. And, yeah, so I read this book by Bill O'Reilly, Killing Jesus. And the reality is, if you read that book, it's not getting worse and worse. There's nothing new under the sun. It was worse and worse back then, too. On a different level, worse to me and more brutal. So read Killing Jesus if you think the world's just falling apart. It's all the same. We're dealing with the same junk, the same sins, the same problems, the same evil. And so it's just in a different, you know, in a different space today, but it's all the same. There was some wicked stuff happening then. And
well, you've managed to get us right down to a very primary foundational fact. That's my phrase. There's nothing new under the sun. Mm. I think I got that from God, didn't I?
I think so. I think you did.
Right.
But if you're going to quote somebody, that is a fantastic person to quote.
But you're right. I mean, it's all the same.
Yeah, it's all the same. It's just a different decade, you know, a different century. And so
I was reading the Bible here a while back, and I started reading about Solomon. I mean, good night. That guy, he had so many wives and concubines, and I was going.
I know. That's what I just got through reading the same thing, and through First Kings and all that, and I'm like, my goodness, we've it's been 70 years and we've had all, I mean, temples burnt and people killed and 47 kings and 380 wives and, you know, all there. Crazy. And just, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, it's, so again, I don't, and God knows it, I don't think there's any new sin. We're just in a new time. I mean, yeah. So the same sins have been around for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It is just us.
And God's using everybody in it.
Absolutely. I mean, you know. I mean the devil, I mean, he's the master disguiser, and he just tries to disguise it in a different way, but it's not any different. Well, I mean, it's still the same issues. And with these kids, it is, it's funny how he moves you, you know. Before, ignorance is most, for me, is where most of my frustration comes from. And so, you know, the generation, I don't know, they all got names and I don't know what they are, but the generation, right now, you gets all a pretty bad rap for thinking, oh, they can't do anything, they can't do this, they can't do that. But I mean, those kids are graduating high school with more education than we had people graduating with master's degrees.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Yeah, it is definitely the brightest different. Generation. I mean, yes, I think it's the smartest, brightest generation we've seen.
It's just different than the way we graduated. And that's, yeah. I mean, a lot of it is ignorance and frustration because it's different than, you know, when we were growing up. And so, again, they're dealing with the same stuff.
Right.
That we dealt with as far as growing up and undecisiveness and, you know, all that. It just is needing guidance, biblical and godly advice and guidance for that foundation to make those decisions.
Maybe we see the intelligence or knowledge, whatever you want to call it, in these kids. And so we expect them to be more mature in other ways that they're really not, because knowledge doesn't get you any kind of emotional maturity,
right?
Soulish maturity, maybe soulish maturity, but there's certain realms of that that that's just a lot bigger than just knowing how algebra works when you're in second grade. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's no excuse for that. That falls on the generation before. You know, I mean, I've said it before, and I look back at growing up, and I wasn't the best student, but I, you know, we all had to go through high school and we all had to do it. And yes, learned lots of things. But the stuff that I use every day that I want to instill in my children, that I want to instill in these youth group kids, was taught at home. 98% of it was taught at home.
With somebody that had an eighth grade education.
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, I think Mark, you're exactly right that as adults, we look at these kids, and with the amount of knowledge that they have, I think we put a false perception on the amount of life skills or wisdom, which wisdom, you speaking of Solomon, you know, I mean, how awesome is that? You know, I mean, and time in so many things is the way that we're going to gain wisdom. And so time spent with the kids, time teaching the kids. And so it really falls on us. It falls on.
Yeah, I think we definitely have to always have. And, you know, Pastor talked about this Sunday about an eternal perspective, that the reality is I love that my children can do amazing math. They read faster than we read at all. They know like trivial things from YouTube and Google that I'm blown away by. But still very much we have to just keep the main thing and say, but if tomorrow you knew you were going to die the next day, none of that is really, I mean, it's great and skills to have in your life, but none of that is going to amount to much. We've got to know who created us and how we're going to go be with him.
Yeah.
You know, how our soul is. And then even with all the knowledge, we see this so much both in our families, in our youth group kids. You can have all the knowledge and all the connection and be on all the social media apps, but hearts are still broken and people are less, kids are feeling less connected just because they don't know the peace of God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we definitely, I want them to have all the knowledge that school and education offers, but above all things, we want the peace of God and knowing who God is and how we get to be with Him forever and ever.
I was trying to find a scripture here, and I didn't find it, but somewhere in Daniel, Daniel had all these dreams and went through time. I mean, God showed him different times in time and then even the end times. And the Lord told him, said that he was going to shut up the book until the end. And he said then something about knowledge will increase. And, you know, I don't know if that was talking about knowledge of God, knowledge of the Word, or just knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But we've seen definitely an increase in knowledge.
Absolutely.
I believe both, if you want to call it secular knowledge and spiritual knowledge, I think they both increase. So, I didn't find that scripture, but I just thought it was kind of interesting that it talks about that.
Mm-hmm. That is interesting because you could, like you said, you could look at that both secular and biblical, you know? I mean...
So I found it.
Okay, good.
It's Daniel 12:4. It says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. And many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." So, so you know, from that indication, the Bible prophesied what is going to happen. And if this isn't the end time, I don't know what knowledge is going to look like.
How much smarter they're going to get. That's true. That is so true.
Yeah, because honestly, we're getting to a place knowledge-wise, and I'm not saying that I would keep my kids at home and want to, but I mean, you can learn and gain any knowledge you want off YouTube or
Google.
We've
got endless knowledge at the touch of our finger.
Yeah.
Anybody, you know, I mean, on that deal. And so I'm not any kind of conspiracy or anything like that, but I look at y'all's age, or, you know, we've talked, who was it the other day that turned 102 or something like...
Hey, wait a minute now.
The next one under, but that...
I think he was 92. Throwing me and you into that deal.
You got to round up.
That's it. Everybody, we've enjoyed talking to you. This will be our last time.
My mic is off. But the amount of knowledge that's been gained in 100 years... where can it go from 2021 to 2121? You know, you go from not having telephones or TV or indoor plumbing.
Vehicles.
To now you drive down the road at 140 miles an hour and feel completely safe, FaceTiming somebody in a different country.
With the air conditioner blowing in your face.
Yes.
Right.
And still being able to look where all four of your kids are, you know, on dots on a map at the same time.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I read an article this morning because I just read most of my news, and I wished I could tell you exactly what side and so we could go back and look at it. But it said in this article that they are predicting, I guess, looking that the next 10 years from now till 10 years from now, we'll have more advancement in technology than we have seen in the last 100 years. This blows my mind because I think where can we go from here? But this is what this article, and it gave good sound reasoning and things like that. And, you know, Gage said, oh, I'm not a conspiracy theory. Well, I read a lot of that. And I think it's odd, you know, like, what did you always tell me? Like, when the stealth bomber
Stealth bomber was in the late 70s.
Came to the public knowledge.
Yes, yeah.
But had been developed in the 50s. And so, you know, the government had such technology 30, 40 years before we as a public even knew. And so I'm saying if little old Kim Angela in 20 America can check the dot on my map to see where people are located and look in your backyard from Google Earth if I wanted to, I'm pretty sure there's some technology out there that's pretty 40 years from now advanced, and we just don't know about it. So that article I read was pretty interesting this morning. So who knows what the next 10 years look like? I mean, I personally think we're in end times, and so the next 10 years may get pretty wild.
So my brother graduated from high school in 1966. So how long ago was that?
Mm-hmm.
It's
55 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And so he had a degree in computers. And at that point in time, a computer that probably wasn't near as powerful as your PC at home is would probably fill this whole room.
Right. I'm sure.
And he always had these little cards he was carrying around, had little holes punched in them.
Yeah.
So he gets out of school. He graduated from Texas Tech, and he gets drafted by the Marines, and so they found that, got to looking in his record, realized he had this degree in computers, and they put him to work building the first database that the U.S. Marine Corps ever had. Just a database of the people that were in service.
Just in the Marine Corps.
And that was the first computer thing they had. So that was 55 years ago. And our government, I mean, in the middle of Vietnam War, the Marine Corps didn't even have a computer until he came along.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but you think about, I think about that. So the government had the first database then. According to that story with your brother, and many people in this area here were getting indoor plumbing. You know what I'm saying? So that's actually pretty advanced considering your general public at that point. So,
yeah.
Who knows how much it's going to change? We have kind of seen just because we tend to pay attention to things as our kids are Kim and I. I can just speak for Kim and I. As your kids get older, then your perspectives or things that you focus on change more because you grow with your kids. We have kind of seen, and of course, wonderful, blessed with this wonderful bubble, Wheeler County, that we live in. And but even that, with our families and extended families and kids getting older, and there's always going to be a huge need for more, you know, the more knowledge. But we've also, I've kind of noticed a trend back towards, great, you might have all this knowledge, but you still are going to have to know how to work on plumbing, or somebody's still going to have to know how to cut hair. Somebody's still going to have to know how to, you know, mow everybody's yard.
That's all figured out. AI.
Yes.
Artificial intelligence.
And we're all just going to sit around.
You're going to have your servant out there fixing the plumbing. And
not care if it's 110.
And Kim's going to have her servant cutting hair. And
well, I know I grew up watching the Jetsons. And wanting, I love the Jetsons, and I really wished I had a Rosie so that she could load the dishwasher and do all those things. But there's no Rosie. I'm Rosie at my house.
Yeah.
So, but you know, the Jetsons are still pretty advanced, all things considering our lives today. Even so,
There is. I mean, it is. It's still.
So the problem with all this is it's very expensive. And, you know, a cell phone, I couldn't even tell you how much this sorry thing I've got costs. Was it $1,000?
At the, yeah.
Mine's a little one.
Yeah, it was probably, might not been quite a thousand, but if you replaced it today, that's about
$1,400. And so I'm at the Verizon store, you know, and I'm just waiting in line, and the little girl in front of us, she's in there, and she's wanting a new phone. And this guy was trying to explain to her how much it was going to cost her a month. He was talking to her about her job and everything. Well, good night. She was willing to spend everything she was making to get her a new phone. And she had her phone in her hand, and I was going, good night. I'd love to have that phone. That's a, that's really a nice phone.
Yep. Yeah, there it's very expensive. All, but that is one good thing. I don't know if you went to our local Radio Shack, but they're coming back down. The prices on the phones are coming down a little
That's
bit.
That's why I got mine for $800 at the local
Radio Shack.
There you go.
It's coming back down a little bit, and I think they just saw, I mean, you were kind of reaching a place where people weren't quite so willing. But any rate, it is expensive. All of that is expensive. And the problem with that is today you got the brand new one, and tomorrow they come out with the next brand new one. So you're never really on top of the game.
Yeah. And so now you can't get a new pickup, work pickup, because there's no chips available.
Nuts.
We figured out all this stuff, but we can't figure out how to get it.
That could be all. We'd be here all night.
We still need workers. We still need laborers.
Well, I think that's why they're pursuing this AI thing. My question is, what are we going to do with all this human talent?
Yes.
And fulfill this desire that people have to do things and to accomplish things. And, you know, what would we do without Gage loving to do what he does and loving to finish a job? What would we do without that?
I don't know, and that's a huge fear. What do you teach your children on that self of accomplishment? That you don't put a dollar figure on it. It is that you stand back and you look at that field that you just plowed today, and you're like, I feel good. I did that. Yeah. Or this hay, I rolled this hay up. Or I did this haircut. Yeah. I made the crackle quit crackling in the microphone. You know, I mean, when you stand back and this, if you, that's a huge fear for me, is if you lose that, if we're not instilling that self of accomplishment, because that's truly what's going to drive you.
So is that what we really mean when we talk about people having work ethic?
Absolutely. Well, I think so.
Because that's what kind of drives that desire in a person is that it should be that feeling of accomplishment or feeling of getting rewarded in some way, monetarily or kind of depending on the situation you're in.
I do feel like, you said everything is so expensive. We talked about phones expensive. I do feel like that is certainly the way society is, and so much of it, it's put financial, the financial importance on so many things that gets away from that just work ethic, self of accomplishment, and being, our biggest prayer is just let me be at peace with whatever I have, whatever the Lord's going to provide me with, let me be at peace with that. And not desire more, and then so.
Not that the desire is bad, but I mean, just like I understand what you're saying is you're just saying to be content.
Content.
And whatever.
And yes, absolutely. Whatever, and desire is not a bad thing. And the Lord wants us to desire more knowledge, and certainly through His guidance, I'm not saying that, but the contentment and being...
In a lot or a little.
Yes.
With...
Like you just said, you've got a young lady sitting there trying to figure out that she's going to spend half her paycheck to get a newer phone when she's holding on to one that works just fine.
Yeah.
And I think, with a lot of things, you think if you get that next thing, then joy will come or more satisfaction. And really, like you're saying, that's all within. It's not stuff, you know?
Right.
Stuff's good, but that's going to be... you can be content or happy or pleased in a little or a lot.
So I'm going to change the direction just a little bit. It's not really, but y'all kind of are entrepreneurs. Your heartbeat is to do business and to bless people and you're doing several different enterprises, right?
Well,
maybe I touched on a sore subject here.
No. I don't know if we're doing it yet, but we're out here. So, it could be a strength, but it could be a weakness. It could be a hole and a gap for me, because I can come up with a million ideas to do. If somebody wants to open a business, just holler at me, because I'll just come up with something. But it also could be a problem, because then, you know, I get my mind going a million different directions, and then sometimes you wake up and you're like, what? We're doing what? We're doing all what? You know? And so, we always have something going on.
So does your mind work that way too, Gage? Or?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we're always...
Kind of in this together.
Yes, we do. And I just from there's very we don't do anything without each other, you know, as far as decisions, or we're wired a lot alike on that, as far as we see a need and we think it needs to be filled, whether we feel it or somebody, or we've got ideas and I had to a fault sometimes on that, on getting too busy.
But I also don't think it's a bad thing.
Either on that, you know, we talked about that's driven, or I don't, and it can be to a fault for sure. Lots of times when it's late and it does seem very faulty.
It's 10 o'clock, I'm like, what are we doing?
So now we're getting back to that motivation thing.
Oh, yeah absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We definitely are motivated to do the things, some things. But, and you know, I will say this, whether it's a strength or a weakness, however we see it, whether it's a great thing or whether it's a hole, you know, where the devil can keep us tied up busy, I don't believe that, because the truth is everything we've done, it may not be like amazingly financially amazing, those kind of things, but it always blesses us somehow. It blesses our family, both time, can be monetarily. And then we've never gotten out of a thing that we decided, okay, this was great. We built this business and somebody approaches, wants to buy it or something, and it moves. And, you know, so, I mean, I can't imagine that it would be, the devil's not trying to bless this, you know? So it works. You just come up with something else.
I'm always interested to see what y'all are going to be doing next.
Right.
So
it's always something, and it's our kids are a product of that. We've already got kids that are already got ideas, and they
We have a daughter that, you know, my daughter, entrepreneur herself, this summer started a business. And she actually wanted to start this business last summer, but she wasn't driving yet. She didn't begin to drive till the end of last summer. So she wanted to start this business, and we said no, because we're already doing a million things, and this business idea you have is great, but we would have to drive you around for your job, and we're not willing to do that. And so this summer she said, okay, I'm ready. And so she started a business, and it's called The Feed Wagon.
The
Feed Wagon.
Feed Wagon.
Yep. And so you can find it on Facebook, and she's made her some graphics. And basically the concept is, we don't have a boarding kennel around Wheeler County and even in the surrounding counties. And we hear people all the time, like, I'm going on vacation, I don't have anywhere for my dogs, or this or that. And of course, if those are your fur babies, you'd rather them stay at your own home anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
So she's peddling this business, the Feed Wagon, and she has set amounts for a morning drop-in, a evening drop-in, midday drop-in, different things that she offers. And then she also popped out a graphic that said barn drop-ins, because, you know, she's stock show queen. And so she'll go take care of your livestock or your stock show animals while you're on vacation. And the little gal has been busy. I asked, like, can I borrow some money? She has been so busy. And she's done so amazing. She'll just tell me, oh, I got up. You know, she got up and she'll say, I'm going to go meet with so-and-so today. And I'm going to get all the lowdown on what I'm supposed to do. And she's got her little checklist. And then she goes and tends to their animals and loves on them and shoots him a little message like, Fido's doing fantastic. I hope you're having a great day at vacation. And she's doing well. So, yeah, we're seeing that brain is starting to churn.
Yeah.
And if you see a need, how you can meet that. So it's been cool.
Well.
Yeah, it's been real cool. Very. And so.
Now, what age is she?
She will be 17 in August. So yeah. She's 16.
I think she's the same age as my grandson.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. He's in August.
Okay.
And he'll be 17.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, so anyhow, I'm so proud of her for doing it, and she's so organized. She's got a calendar, and so I suspect that's growing possibly sooner than later, and I say that meaning by a year from now, maybe there'll be a location where you could board and house. And
well, man, that's called a kennel.
That's right.
Hey, yeah. You got a guy that could probably build that sitting right over there.
Maybe.
I didn't know Jim did that.
I don't know. I don't know. It depends on if she decides to hire. I mean, what contractor she'll pick.
That's true.
She may have both of y'all working for him, building pens, and you feeding animals.
Hey, you know what? I've got a couple of businesses I would sell her today if she's ready to go. I'll work for her for sure.
So did she get that just from watching y'all and your experience, you think? Or
I mean, she saw us. We're animal people, you know, on that, and it's always.
Yeah, I think she just saw that, you know, she loves animals, any kind of animal, and she just is like, hey, do you think that there's a need for this? We all kind of kicked it around and talked about it, and I'm like, I think that would be amazing. So, yeah, I think she just, we went into a place in a surrounding town. I kind of threw her for a loop because she was kind of thinking about this, and I said, well, we'll just go visit a place, and she said, well, what are you going to do? I said, well, we'll just tell them. Maybe we want to board our dog here. And so we went and looked around, and she's like, that was amazing. I loved it. And so her wheels just started turning, and there's nothing out here like that. So
yeah.
Anyhow, I'll be anxious to see where it goes.
Yeah.
But I love that her mind is working like that already.
Yeah.
I mean, I want her to do whatever she wants, you know, whatever her desire is to do, but I love the idea of her owning her own business and being her own boss, which means I actually have a million other bosses, but
yeah.
I like that.
But she has to peddle it off on her little brothers when she's gone to FFA camp.
They're at leadership camp now.
Well, which we're so thankful that the country has kind of got back where these kids are going to camps and people are going on vacations that are needing dogs fed and everything else. Yeah. It's wonderful. Yeah.
That wouldn't work very good when everybody's stuck
home. Last year was not, no, wasn't a good kickoff year for
sure. Yeah, that would be as bad as owning an event center during, during a world pandemic.
Some of these things you're going to have to think through a little bit. Have a little foreknowledge of.
I would really wish the Lord had given me a word of knowledge. Like, there's a world pandemic coming. Do not open an event.
He did. He knew your contractor needed 13 more months.
That's exactly right. Because he's slow.
Well, you know how it works. It goes slow and then it goes fast.
Yep.
Then you're going, I wish this would slow down just a little bit.
Yes.
So Ranch, your son, he's a baseball player.
He is a baseball player. He loves baseball, but he has given up the pitch for a pitching wedge. For the pitching wedge. He's moved to golf.
Oh.
And he is concentrating on golf at this point. And the little stinker's pretty darn good. So I'm anxious to see
how that goes. A golf pro in the family. You
know? Hey, be all right. That would be all right. So, yeah, he's planning on joining the golf team next year. He'll be in high school. He's going to high school. And so he's been focused less on baseball, more on golf this summer. Yeah. But he does love baseball, and so does Ryder. So,
your youngest one, what age is he?
He's 12.
12?
Yep. 12, 14, and 16.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are going to be empty nesters before too long.
Say that out loud. I know. We still got not fast.
You got a lot of high school to go, don't you?
I know, but it is going by so fast.
Does go by very quickly. You know, Annette told me a while ago, she said, you know, it's 2 months until Blake, our grandson's first football game.
Already? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm not talking the start of football season, practice. She said, I'm talking about
the first
scrimmage.
The first, mm-hmm.
Man.
It is. I was talking about that 100-year-old or whatever, that story, the advice the 102-year-old man told Aaron told that story, said 100 years goes by awful fast.
Yeah. Exactly. So. Well, those are fighting words, Mark, at our house. Don't talk about summer going by that quick.
Okay.
There's no back. Yeah, let's just be done with that conversation.
You know, it's 6 months before school.
Thank you. That was the one great thing of the world pandemic is we slowed way down and we were able to we didn't have a schedule. But anyhow.
That's kind of changed, hasn't it?
We've gone right back to whipping and spurring the schedule for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. It doesn't, even when you have an empty nest, it doesn't affect things very much. As far as
it
busy.
It still goes and goes and goes.
Yeah. Then you just got feathered, you know, your kids over here and kids over there. And then next thing you know, the grandkids over here and grandkids over there. And then.
Yeah, that's what my mother-in-law says. You know, you went from chasing 3 kids to with all of their kids, then 10 kids, 10 grandkids. So, busy, busy, busy.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm glad y'all were on with me tonight. Y'all are always such a blessing.
And, good.
I love to get y'all's up close and personal ideas about everything.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yes. And I know who to ask now for dance lessons. So
there
you go.
You have no telling who she'll pawn you off on.
I've got you covered, Jim.
Okay.
Well, folks, it's been a good program, and we'll be back next week with another round. Until then, good night and God bless.
Good night, everyone.